The fundamental issue. Granted the importance of the doctrine of the covenants and the law, there is in fact an issue which is far more fundamental. It is a question of authority. Now, of course, both covenant and new covenant theologians are agreed. Scripture is the sole authority in all matters of belief and practice. But let us not get carried away with rhetoric and slogan. There is far too much dependence on the words, confessions, creeds, and systems of men. How many times we hear the mantra trotted out, sola scriptura, scripture alone, when the speaker or writer demonstrates that he really means scripture filtered by the confession. All talk of subsidiary standards can be nothing more than pious claptrap, unless it really does mean what it says on the tin. No one is exempt. We all have our presuppositions. We all read scripture through our own particular glasses. Let us recognize it, and let us do all we can to put it right. The fact is, in my experience, when debating the theology of the New Covenant with covenant theologians, almost invariably I find them falling back on their particular confession. And not as a last resort. It seems to be their weapon of choice. Authority, scripture. Spurgeon had some wise words on the subject, though not in reference particularly to the question in hand, but in general. Let us hear him, and heed him. Spurgeon. Shall I suggest that there are some who do not receive Christ's word because they are listening to man's word? If you know anybody who is equal to my master, hear him. If you know anybody who is superior to Christ, hear him. As for me, he is the one and only teacher of the truth of God, and at his feet I reverently and humbly sit. All other teachers whom I have ever heard of or met with, so far as they speak as he does, are worthy of attention, but whenever their teaching diverges from his, on that point, they are worthy of no regard whatever. Did you say that such a thing is believed by you because you found it in Calvin's Institutes? I am a Calvinist, and a lover of that grand man's memory and doctrine, but I believe nothing merely because Calvin taught it, but because I have found his teaching in the Word of God. Ah, but the prayer book says such and such. It may do so, but I pray you, believe nothing because it's there, unless it can also be found in Holy Scripture. But such and such things were in the minutes of Mr. Wesley's conference. If they are according to Scripture, let them stand. But if they are not, who was Mr. Wesley that we should receive his teaching? Ah, but the archbishops have said it. And what are all the archbishops piled together from the days of the first archbishop until now, wherein they have differed from the Word of God? No, my friend, do not fill your brain with other people's teaching. But if you would be right, turn all else out and come and say, the word of Christ for me. The word of Christ for me. If I have any influence over you, and if you are ever inclined to believe a thing simply because I say it, I charge you, throw away such superstition and test all that I say by the word of God. The real weight of truth consists not in what one man says, or in what another man says. The weight, the power, the substance lies in what Christ has said. That, and that alone, is the truth of God. May that be the attitude of all who hear what follows. I repeat that I have not quoted Spurgeon as an authority, but merely as one who pithily illustrates the truth, hoping that his words and my comments might serve as a catalyst for biblical thought on these serious matters. The authority for believers must be Scripture. Scripture, not reason, not the theologies or confessions of men. As Spurgeon said, it must be Scripture. Scripture received and submitted to by faith. The inmost heart of Christian faith is that we take God at his word, and we must accept that word, not because of the probabilities of its statements, nor because of the confirmatory evidence of science and philosophy, but simply and alone because the Lord has spoken it. Many professing Christians fall sadly short of this point. They dare to judge the word instead of bowing before it. They do not sit at the Master's feet, but become doctors themselves. I thank God that I believe everything that God has spoken, whether I am able to see its reason or not. To me, the fact that the mouth of God has spoken it stands in the place of all argument, either for or against. If Jehovah says so, so it is. Do you accept the witness of God? Take the existence of God, creation, the authority of Scripture and such like. When all the evidence has been weighed, when all the arguments have been digested, when all the logic has been sifted, it still boils down to a question of faith. Do you believe that God exists? That He created the universe? And so on. Atheists believe there is no God. Evolutionists believe in their system. We're all believers. Belief. Trust. That is the issue. As Spurgeon challenged his hearers on Scripture, do you accept the witness of God? If not, as Spurgeon declared, if not, you have made God a liar, and the truth is not in you. But if you have received the witness of God, then this is His witness, that He has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. I say again, if your faith stands in the wisdom of men and is based upon the cleverness of a preacher, it will fail you. But if it stands on the sure word of the Lord, it will stand forever. Finally, on this point, Spurgeon in a very early sermon declared, the great truth is always the Bible, and the Bible alone. My hearers, you do not believe in any other book than the Bible, do you? If I could prove this from all the books in Christendom, if I could fetch back the Alexandrian Library and prove it thence, you would not believe it any more surely. But you surely will believe what is in God's Word. I have little doubt that almost everybody who reads this book will agree with this sentiment. Nevertheless, it is altogether too easy to nod our heads sagely in agreement, and then fall back onto the traditional confession or theology. The confession says, so I close this chapter with a personal appeal. As I read on, subject all you hear to Scripture. Be a Berean.